watching this thing for years. I got saved. My father wasn't saved. My family wasn't saved. And, man, went to church, and I used to think, boy, I wish my family was like that. I wish my family, because, you know, my father was in the county jail, and I was in state penitentiary, and my older brother's got life in prison. And I thought, man, I wish my family, I went to church, and I always dreamed of having a family that would love the Lord and want to serve God. And always dreamed of that. And my wife and I got married at 19. I never recommended that. And we decided we're going to raise our kids for the Lord. And we're going to try to do the right thing. You say, have we done right? I mean, we've done everything we, you know, possibly could think of that we could try to do. But have we done it always right? No. You think about in the Bible, the families in the Bible, like Adam and Eve. You know, here they are in the perfect environment. Got everything given to them. And then all of a sudden the devil shows up. And the devil shows up and starts whispering in her ear, and she starts believing what he has to say. And then you find that, you know, they get kicked out of the garden, and you know, the first family, you talk, they call the president and his family the first family, but Adam and Eve, first family, and they had a murderer involved, had a murderer in their family that killed his brother, Abel. And, you know, what a thing. If you read through your Bible, that's how you know God wrote this book. Because if a man wrote it, they wouldn't put all the bad stuff in it. And everybody's got, you know, skeletons in the closet in that sense. And God shows you through the Word of God how some families in the Bible had skeletons in the closet. And things happened in their children and all that. You find, you know, Moses and his family. Then you find Abraham, his family. Find Lot and his family. Lot goes down to Sodom because he was chasing after the money. All he could think about was the money. End up in a homosexual city. All, you know, you talking about San Francisco, but this place was worse than San Francisco. I've been in San Francisco, but this place is a lot worse than San Francisco. And Lot goes down to Sodom and Gomorrah, and then all of a sudden they all surrounded his house and wanted the two men that came into his house, the two angels. And, you know, God, you know, then the angels blinded the men that were homosexuals and blinded them, and then God brought rain fire down on Sodom and Gomorrah and the surrounding cities. And Lot ends up in a cave drunk. And gets drunk, and he ends up having incest with his daughters. His daughters conspired. He said, man, these guys in the Bible, good Lord. And that stuff is going on rapid today. Now, when I got saved, I wanted to raise my children for God. And, you know, you're finding a difference in a Christian home. But we've had people come to this church. I thought they were the greatest Christians in the world. I thought they were, you know, living for God and all that. And then I find out, man, they got more skeletons in the closet. They were coming out of the closet. You couldn't keep them in the closet. They were coming out. And they were all over the place, man. And I thought, here they were, the most godliest people I ever met on the face of the earth. And then I find out, this is going on. That's going on in their family. And, you know, you go, God, have mercy. And I learned a great lesson back when I was just gotten saved. A woman that was close to me and my wife, we thought she was the greatest Christian in the world, caught her running around on her husband. I mean, man, what a thing. I wanted to run over with a trash truck. And I mean, I seen her in the parking lot. I wanted to run over her. And I laid the air horn on and scared them half to death. But stuff like that goes on in this world, man. And especially, you know, it shouldn't be like that in church. And if the devil can destroy the home, he destroys the church. He destroys the country. He destroys everything. And then the kids end up like they are rioting on the streets and all that good stuff going on. All that junk is going on. But take your Bible, look with me this morning. I thought I was going to preach on faith this morning, on the fathers, faith of our fathers. But I think we're going to go to Zechariah. We're going to go into some prophecy. And Zechariah, you talking about Zechariah is a crazy book. It's crazy. And you say, what do you mean it's crazy? You start reading it, you'll understand what I'm talking about. And you can't, some things you just don't know what's going to happen. And I tell you this, we reading this Bible, you can tell what's going to come down the pike. And what we're doing, and we're seeing a step in that direction. We're seeing a step of things that's coming down the pike. And you better fortify yourself. You better pray with your family. You better get closer to God. You better get in your Bible and spend time with the Lord. And if you don't, brother, it's going to be shot. Your family's going to be shot. And if the devil can destroy your family, he slowly destroys the church. Slowly, by families, he destroys the church. And that's his number one goal. What most people don't think, they don't know, that the devil has a goal. He has an ultimate goal. His ultimate goal is to defy God and defy God's creation. That's his ultimate goal. And look at this. In Zechariah chapter 5, and look at this thing. And this is some crazy stuff. But we're going to get into some crazy stuff this morning. If you're watching by live stream, get your Bible. Go to Zechariah chapter 5. Go to Zechariah chapter 5. And Zechariah, the only thing I can come close to it's talking about, is talking about a UFO. And, you know, I've been looking on Facebook in the morning, I come up, and everybody's spotting all these UFOs, all this crazy stuff going on. He said, what is that? What is these UFOs? And then, you know, Star Trek is a big hit. Star Wars, all that stuff was a big hit. And people always saying, well, there's people on another planet. And, you know, the scientists, that's what they want to do. They want to prove there's no God by finding life on another planet somewhere else. They can say, see there? There was no God. We evolved from animals. So what's wrong with people going out rioting, taking whatever they want? The survival of the fittest, take whatever you want, to beat up whoever you want, kill whoever you want, and you shouldn't have to pay for it. You shouldn't have it shouldn't be a crime. And that's what we've seen on the streets of America. You've seen all these people getting killed. Nobody's paying the price. I watched some interviews with police, chief of police and stuff, and man, they're like devastated right now. And the police, the morale in the police departments are very low, and all these cops are resigning. I mean, I thank God for cops. I told you Wednesday night, I hated cops before I got saved. I hated them, and I wanted to see them hurt. But when I got saved, God changed my heart and changed my life about things. And why? Because I got seeing things a lot clearer. You know, wicked people want to get away with everything, and they hate anybody in authority. They hate anybody going to tell them what to do. Mama, I tell the kids this, if you won't listen to mom and dad, some prison guard will tell you what to do, or somebody in the army will tell you what to do. That's what you'll be heading for. You'll head up down. So ain't nobody going to tell me what to do. You go in the military, they'll tell you what to do. You'll go into prison, and they'll tell you what to do. And we got some boys out in this church that's prison guards. And they're always constantly being cursed and mocked and thrown on them cops. Why? Because they're in authority. And I realize there's some bad cops. I realize there's some bad prison guards. I was in prison. I know there was some bad stuff. And I know there's some bad stuff in this world. And then you can allow it to make you better or make you bitter, one of the two. And what I want to do is try to win as many people to Jesus Christ as I can, encourage the saints of God to go on for God. I mean, because this world is not my home, man. I'm just a passing through. My treasures are laid up somewhere beyond the blue. I'm looking for a city like Abraham was in Hebrews chapter 11. He's looking for a city whose builder and maker is God. But look at this, Zechariah chapter 5. And I want you to see this. He says, I turned and lifted up mine eyes. This is Zechariah writing in about B.C. 519. He says, I turned and I lift up mine eyes and looked, and behold, a flying roll. And he said unto me, what seest thou? And I answered, I see a flying roll. The length thereof, you said, this is just a scroll that was flying in the air. A scripture scroll. No, it ain't. Look how big it is. It says, he said unto me, what seest thou? And I said, I see a flying roll, and the length thereof is 20 cubits. So a cubit is 18 to 22 inches. So you're talking about something that's about 15, 20 feet long. 15, 20 feet long. And it says, and the breadth thereof, 10 cubits. So if it's 18 inches, so on, or 22, you get the math. And it's about 10 feet wide. And this thing flying in the air. And it says, and he said unto me, this is the curse. Notice that. This is the curse that goeth over the face of the whole earth. Now, whatever it is, it's a curse. You said, can there be a curse in this land? Oh, yeah. Now, the curse is sin. And when Adam and Eve sinned in the garden, brought the curse, man. And we're all suffering from the curse. But this thing here is something more. This is something more. And this thing flying over the whole earth. And this it's monitoring things. It's looking at things. This thing also says it lands and brings wickedness in people's homes. My home, before I was saved, I mean, it was darkness. You know, people say, I'm in a dark spot in my life. I'm in a dark place. Or I'm just in a dark, my life has been dark for the past 10 years. You know why? There's something going on that you don't want to deal with. There's something in your life you don't want to deal with. When a Christian, somebody that's saved, is in a dark place, there's something wrong. And it ain't God's fault. It's your fault. It's what you're messing with. And you say, well, do you ever get down? Yeah, I get down, but what I do is I stir myself up. And I get up here before the preaching. You notice I'm always pacing. Why? I'm just getting stirred up. I'm getting stirred up. And you say, man, I just can't help it. Whenever I go away and preach, I get stirred up because why? I know I'm getting ready to preach. It's getting in a fight. It's almost, when you're preaching or when you're living for God, it's a fight. And boy, you better be ready for a fight. And most Christians, they just yield to it.
They just yield to whatever comes along, and they're going to a dark place. That's why so many suicides going on. You notice the news media ain't reporting a whole lot of suicides now. Why? Because Trump said something about it. And here, man, there's a lot of suicides going on. People say, I'm in a dark spot. Well, taking your own life ain't the way to go, man. That's not the way, especially if you're not saved, you're going to end up in hell. And you don't want to do that. And the Bible says this thing is a curse, whatever it is, flying over the whole earth. Not just in America, not just in China. And you notice all the events that's going to happen that's in the future, it mentions all Russia, it mentions China, it mentions, it doesn't even mention the United States. The only thing we can figure the United States is in Revelation chapter 13. And that's the beast coming out of the Mediterranean Sea. And that's the beast is a multicolored. You know what they say? America is the melting pot of the world. And it is. America it is. You know, everybody was dying to get to America. Why? Freedom. But they say, well, that's what made America great. No, what made America great is what we're holding in our hand. Yeah, amen. What made America great was the preaching of the Word of God. Yeah. Why do you think the assault is on the home, the church, and on Christians' lives? The assault, the wickedness is all over the whole earth, is on assault on the family, is on the church. And that's why when you come in, you're bringing that spirit in here with you. And we got to try to sing it out of here. We try to, man, rebuke that spirit by the precious blood of Jesus Christ. And when we start preaching, that spirit can't stay around, because when you start magnifying Jesus Christ in your own life, that spirit will get away from you, man. It'll leave you. You got to stir yourself up. And man, that spirit, you know, I felt it when y'all came in here this morning. That was a good spirit till y'all got here. I'm telling you what, you said, well, you don't want me to come back? Yeah, I want you to come back. I wanted you to get rid of that spirit in your life. And you'll drink something. They call it wine and spirits. You'll drink something. You'll smoke something. You'll take in an unholy smoke into your body and that be an unclean spirit in your life. Amen. You'll do that. And you'll say, what's wrong with me, man? I'm in a dark place. Stupid. You idiot! I don't like to be called that. Well, stop being stupid, idiot. Come on. Amen. Amen. Yeah. Go ahead, preacher. Look what that Bible says. Who said that? Who did that? Who did the oh? Lisa. Yeah, Lisa did. Lisa, do it again. Oh, you didn't do it. They were kidding me the other day. They said they were gonna do the women do. Jesus, yeah, there you go. And you were supposed to do what? Somebody was supposed to do something. It was Kaylee. Oh, it was Kaylee. Where's Kaylee at? She's not here. Oh, okay. Anyway, look what that thing says. Verse 2. Now, haven't you felt the difference in the spirit in here now?
Yeah.
Have you felt it?
Yeah.
There's a spirit, man.
Yeah.
And when you're all in this life, you're always dealing with spirits. The Bible says, try the spirits and know whether of God or not. So how do you try the spirit? Because when you start lifting up Jesus Christ, the spirit of the unclean spirit won't hang around. You know, I'll tell you how you can try the spirits. When you're feeling sorry for yourself, that's an unclean spirit. When you start thinking, I deserve better, that's an unclean spirit. You start having these spirits talk to you and start saying, and then what, for long, you know what people could do? They say, I'm bored. And they go to their phone and they get into all kinds of other things and you pick up a spirit. You know what I believe? I believe the Antichrist is going to be able to use the phone, be able to, man, for you to be able to buy and sell with a number that's going to be put on your head or on your hand. This thing that's flying around, whatever it is, it don't want to get caught. And they can't catch it. They say, oh, Area 51, they've got some down there. Well, if they did, I tell people all the time, I said, you know what, the UFOs, you said, where'd they come from? You said, do you believe in UFOs, number one? I do believe in UFOs. I believe they're real. You say, oh, you're the first preacher I ever heard say that. Well, I believe they're real. And I don't believe they're from the Star Wars or the Outer Limits or whatever they are. I believe they're from the center of the earth. And we were talking about that the other day in Genesis 6. The sons of God came on daughters of man and so on. And how did the giants get through the flood? But look at this. You say, the Bible have all that stuff in it? I'm going to show it to you. It says, and then said he unto me, this is the curse of the whole goeth forth over the face of the whole earth. So when you're messing with stuff as a saved person, you're messing with stuff that you shouldn't be messing with. You'll bring a curse on your life. You say, can a saved person can do that? Yes, you can. You can bring a curse on your life. as a saved person. You can mess with stuff that you shouldn't be messing with. And this is Father's Day. And dads, what you ought to be doing is guarding your family from that mess. Amen. You ought to be guarding your family from all that mess that's out there in the world that's constantly trying to get your children. Yeah. Constantly trying to get your wife to run around on you. Constantly get you to run around on your wife. Constantly working on you to go out and do bad things. Right. Constantly. It doesn't give up. There's an unclean spirit, man. And that spirit and whatever's in, I can't get into all this stuff about UFOs. If I did, it'd scare you half to death. What I've been studying on and what I've read in the past. And then it says, they goeth forth over the face of the whole earth, for everyone that stealeth shall be cut off. Uh-oh, thieves. Thieves get a curse on them. Guess what I used to do? I used to steal. I was a thief. I was a thief, man. If it wasn't nailed down, I'd take it. My dad taught me how to steal. My dad would say, that's mine, boy. I was a little kid. Dad, that's mine over there. Go get it. I'd walk over there, little kid. I'd say, okay, Dad. I'd go get it. My dad was teaching me how to steal. Guess what he did? He brought a curse on our family. My brother was killed at 18 years old. My older brother's got life in prison. You said, preacher, you don't know what you're... I know what I'm talking about. We had a curse. The Ryman family had a curse. When I got saved and started growing in the Word of God, isn't it something how people don't grow in the Word of God, Christians don't grow in the Word of God because they don't see the importance of it? They don't see the importance of learning the Word of God, growing as a Christian. They don't see the importance of it. But, boy, you talk about money. Oh, boy, they see the importance of that. What are you going to do when the money dries up? So I'm going to get a stimulus check. You know what? I got a stimulus check. Me and my wife got one. We sent it right back to the IRS. I said, why'd you do that? Because I owe them taxes. I said, thank you, Uncle Sam. You helped me pay my taxes. Look at this. Then he said unto me, this is the curse that goeth over the face of the whole earth. Everyone that stealeth shall be cut off as on this side according to it. And everyone that sweareth shall be cut off as on that side according to it. So this thing flying down through there, and wherever it goes, it brings a curse. Wherever the thing's flying by, is they said on one side or the other. And you know what it tells, makes me think about this? Makes me say, hey, man, you better make up your mind whose side you're on. You better make up whose side you're on. You're on God's side or you're on that thing's side? And that thing ain't controlled by God. I mean, God knows it's there. But you know who controls it? We're going to see. The devil controls it. Look here. Some of y'all said, I've never read that in the Bible before in my life. How many of y'all can say that? I've never read that before. Raise your hand. Just slip up your hand. Be honest. Come on. Be honest. Be honest. All right. Man, that thing's in the book. It's a flying roll. Scrolls. It's flying around. And it says, everybody that swears shall be cut off on that side according to it. And I will bring it forth and the Lord of hosts. And it shall enter into the house of the thief. That's a curse. Entering into the house of a thief, into the house of him that sweareth falsely by my name. God said, that thing's going to enter in your house. You know what drug addicts have? Drug addicts, they say, man, I seem like I can never get out of this slump. I can, you know what you got to do? The only way you can get out of that thing is, Lord, help me. God, save me. Like Peter did on the water. Lord, save me from me. Save me from myself. That's the only way you can get out. You play with fire, guess what they say? You're going to get burnt. Keep on playing with it. Keep on messing with it. See how you end up. I've been around 64 years, and you know what? I've seen a lot of my friends that was running with me. I've seen the way they ended up. I've seen the way families ended up. I've seen all that stuff. I've been around. I've preached hundreds of funerals. Hundreds. I've seen the way it ends up. Yep. I've seen the other side of it. I was on the other side of it. And, man, I'm looking back on it. Oh, God, help them, Lord. Save them, Lord. Please, God. Why? Because this curse is coming. Yeah. It's coming for you. And I tell you what, that's why it's so important for you to be close to God. Draw nigh to God, and he'll what? Resist the devil, and he'll what? That's right. And what most Christians don't do, they don't resist the devil. And they'll go along with the world, and the thievery and the cursing and all the drinking and the drugging, and they'll think, what's wrong with me, man? How come it seems like it just turns like crud in front of me all the time? Check it out. There's something flying around your house. There's something in your house. And it says, I will bring it forth, saith the Lord of hosts, and shall enter into the house of a thief, into the house of him that sweareth by falsely by my name, and it shall remain in the midst of his house. I've had people call me up and say, Preacher, will you come over to my house and bless my house? I've gone to their house. And I said, let me ask you something. What are you watching? The children, the one guy called me up and said, my daughter woke up. At the end of her bed was this man standing there in all black with a black top hat and all. It was a silhouette. And he was standing there, and he says, and he said, my daughter screamed. I ran in the house, and he about knocked me, whatever it was, came out of the room, knocked me against the wall, and took off down the hall. He goes, man, I want that thing out of my house. And I don't know how many times I've got calls like that. Will you come to my house and bless my house? I said, look, man, I can bless your house all you want. But if you don't change, it's going to stay. If you don't change, it's going to stay right there. If you're watching all that wickedness on television, you're looking at all that stuff, and man, you're drinking out all that junk, and you're smoking all that stuff or snorting up your nose, whatever you're doing with it, and I tell you what, that thing ain't going to leave your house. It's going to stay right there. Daddy, you're in charge of the home. You're supposed to be the one protecting the house. And you know what you do? Most of the time I find the father is the one brings it in. The father is the one. You know why? He don't care. He don't care. I'm going to live my life the way I want to live it. I'm going to do what I want because it's my life. You stupid thing. Look what it says. And the angel that talked with me went forth and said unto me, lift up now thine eyes and see what is this that goeth forth. And I said, what is it? Here's Zechariah. He's saying, man, what is this? What is this thing? I mean, you know, it goes all the way back to the garden. And you know what? When the devil fell, folks, let me tell you this. When the devil fell, he took a third of the angels of glory. They followed him. Now, there's two-thirds left behind. And there's been a battle going on in the atmosphere. If God took the scales off your eyes and you could see what's going on in the atmosphere, you would drop dead of a heart attack. And the Bible talks about there's a dragon out there, seven-headed dragon flying over. And look with me to Revelation. Hold your place right there in Zechariah. Y'all interested? Amen. Y'all interested in this? Come on. Look in Revelation. Look in Revelation chapter, where is it? Here it is, Revelation chapter 17. It's no coincidence that this thing is called Mystery Babylon the Great. Mystery Babylon the Great. And the Bible says in chapter 17, it says, and there came out one of the seven angels which had the seven vials and talked with me. See, now you say, is God in control? Yes, God's in control. But man chooses to kick God out of their country, out of their home, out of their school, and you got violence everywhere, every which way. You got violence. When man turns away from God and says, hey, I'm going to take the devil. I'm going to do my own thing. I'm going to follow the devil because he's more fun, and he gives me more pleasure. And he kicks God out of home, out of school, out of all that thing. This thing flies into his house, flies into the school, and there's a spirit with it, and it hangs around to destroy from the inside out. But look at this. This is a religious organization here talking about. Look at here. And it says there, one of the seven angels which had the seven vials talked with me, saying unto me, come hither, and I will show thee the judgment of the great whore that sitteth upon many waters, and with whom the kings of the earth have committed fornication. I mean, he's saying all the nations have committed fornication with this religious organization, this woman. It says, and the inhabitants of the earth have made her drunk with the wine of her fornication. You know, whenever you want to get a woman, seduce a woman, most men know it, they get them drinking, and then they can seduce her. But this woman is seducing, she's doing the reverse. This is a religious organization. It's doing the reverse. It's seducing kings. And then the Bible says, so he carried me away in the spirit into the wilderness, and I saw a woman sit upon a scarlet-colored beast full of names of what? Blasphemy. It's no praise to God. There's no giving God the glory. There's no saying, thank you, Lord. It's blasphemy. Blankety blank God. God, you blank. You know, every other word used to come out of my mouth before I was saved was God blank this and God blank this and, you know, all the other words go along with it. It was just blasphemy out of my mouth. Some of y'all, you all talk like that. If you're saved, you shouldn't be talking like that. Amen. You know, the Bible says, can blessing and cursing come out of the same mouth? It shouldn't. Fathers, you ought to get to a place in your life and say, man, I tell you what, I'm going to live for God. And who, no matter who follows me, I'm going to try to serve. I mean, what happens is you've gone down the road so far, what the devil will say, oh, you've gone too far, man. It's just too late. It's just too late. No, it's never too late. It's never too late to turn the ship around. Never too late. Look what it is. Look what it says. Name of black, having seven heads and 10 horns. And the woman was arrayed in purple and scarlet colored and decked with gold and precious stones and pearls, having the golden cup in her hand, full of abominations and filthiness of her fornication. And upon her forehead was a name written, Mystery Babylon the Great, the mother of harlots, the abomination of the earth. And I saw the woman drunken with the blood. Look at this. Blood of saints. You got Dracula biting blood, drinking blood. You know, the Bible talks about in Leviticus, it's forbidden a man to drink blood. It's forbidden. Especially in animal's blood, in man's blood. Brother Riley's daddy, he told me, he said, I've used this 100 times. He told me when he worked in that slaughterhouse, there was a guy there that was a Satanist, and he told he would drink the pig's blood. He would get, when they slit the throat of the pig, he would take the blood and drink it. And Brother Riley said, man, that's sick. You know, the Bible commands you shouldn't drink blood and all that. And you know what that guy said? One day I'm going to drink your blood. You know what the Bible says in tribulation? They're going to be drinking the children of God's blood. Look at this. The abomination, filthiness of her fornication upon her forehead, a name written. I saw the woman drunken with the blood of saints, with the blood of martyrs of Jesus. And when I saw her, I wondered with great admiration. This is John. John, the disciple, he's wondering. He said, man, this is not Rome. John was around Rome. He's seen Rome. But he said, man, this is a mystery. This thing here, I've never seen before. This is something else. And there's stuff that we're right now that is going on in this country we've never seen before. And it's just going to increase. Things are going to happen. I pray that it doesn't. I'm praying, God, bring peace, bring peace. God, bring peace. My man, I'll tell you what, our Christians need. You can have peace in the middle of a storm, folks. Look at this. An angel said unto me, wherefore didst thou marvel? I will tell thee the mystery of the woman and of the beast that carried her, which hath the 7 heads and the 10 horns. The beast that thou sawest was, now notice this is Antichrist. This is the Antichrist here. Notice it tries to do everything Jesus Christ had done. Jesus Christ rose from the grave. He was born. He was God in the flesh. He was crucified and he rose. Look at this. And the beast that thou sawest was, he was in the past, and is not, he's been killed, and shall ascend out of the bottomless pit and go to perdition. The Antichrist, I'll show you that. It's in the book of Daniel if we have time. We ain't got to have time, but go back to Zechariah. He said, what are you trying to do, preacher? I'm trying to get your curiosity in the Word of God and realize that this book is right on the money, folks. It's right on the money. The Bible talks about the kings of the East, China, Vietnam, Japan, all these other countries. You said, what do they need? There's people that need Jesus Christ in every one of these countries, every one of them.
Amen.
You said, do you hate the Chinese? No. I don't care if the virus came from there or not. I don't hate them. I'm going to see them saved. I don't care. I don't hate the Japanese. I had a man used to come to this church. He hated the Japanese. He fought in World War II. And man, Squeaky knows who I'm talking about. His name is Mr. Holmes. And Mr. Holmes, man, he was a character. He was a real character. He come to church and just, you know, he loved. He was from New England States. And he loved the Lord and loved to serve the Lord. And he had money. He didn't. You would never known the guy had money. He bought a farm out there in Marydale and bought a farm. His wife didn't even know he bought it. And he told me, he took me over to show me his farm and showed me everything he bought. And he said, I got 100 cars. I need you to move them. I said, 100 cars? Well, you got 100 cars. He said, I got them stashed. And I mean, he had them stashed. He had bought a tow truck. And he said, man, he had me driving this tow truck and hauling these cars. And he had every one of the cars. He was from World War II era. I mean, he was from the Depression era. This guy had every car full of stuff. I mean, he had old Falcons, station wagons. He had everything. I was going, he said, whatever you want, you can have. I said, I don't want it. No, I got enough junk. I said, man, I got to get rid of some junk. But he had over 100 cars. And this guy, but Mr. Holmes, he hated the Japanese. He was sitting at my table one night, and I said, what do you think about the Kubota tractor? Man, he about slapped me in the mouth. I mean, he went like this. He said, don't you say that. And I went, say what? He went, don't you ever say that again. He treated me like a son, and he said, son, don't you ever say that word again. I said, Kubota? He goes, don't say that word. He hated the Japanese. I said, man, you got to get over that. They need the Lord. But look here. Look on this. Look on down. Back to Zechariah chapter 5 and verse 6. Y'all interested? I said, amen. Are y'all interested? Look here. He says in verse 6, we're just going to scratch the surface here. And I said, what is it? And he said, this is the ephod that goeth forth. You know, ephod was what the priests wore over his garment. He wore over his garment that had, he had, you know, then they put the breastplate on top of that. This ephod, he says, this is the ephod. So it had to be a pretty good-sized garment. He said, the ephod that goeth forth, he said, moreover, this is their resemblance through all the earth. And behold, there was lifted up a talent of lead, a talent of lead. I can't remember exact weight that is, but it says the talent of lead. And this is the woman that sitteth in the midst of the ephod. It was a woman in the middle of it. Almost sounds like Revelation. And it says, and he said, this is wickedness. And he cast it into the midst of the ephod. And he cast the weight of the lead upon the mouth thereof. So he throws this lead in the middle of this ephod that's stretched out. And he said, and there was a woman in the middle of it. Then he says, then lifted up mine eyes and looked, and behold, there came out two women. And the wind was in their wings. For they had wings like the wings of a stork. That's where they get that thing, babies, you know, the storks deliver the babies. That's a lie. These women are wicked. The only time you find angels with wings in there is wickedness. They made movies about the devil, you know, being a cool guy, come back to the earth, got his wings. You know, the devil had wings because he was a cherubim. Cherubim have wings. Seraphim have wings. Angels don't have wings. You said, do they have to earn their wings? No. And every time you hear a bell, an angel didn't get their wings. That was just a made-up little story. But these guys, or these women, have wings. And the Bible says they're wickedness. You ever heard about the devil came into a church, a Bible-believing Baptist church? Came in, and he went, ah, I'm the devil. Had the pitchfork and the whole deal. Everybody ran. Everybody ran except for one guy sitting right where Tommy sits. That one guy, the devil walked up and said, I'm the devil. Why ain't you afraid? The guy just sat there. He said, you hear what I said? I'm the devil. Why ain't you afraid? He said, you know, I ain't afraid of you. He said, I've been married to your sister for 20 years. If you marry one of these, brother, you're in trouble. How many of y'all been married to? No. Then I lifted up mine eyes and looked, verse 9. And behold, there came out two women, and the wind was in their wings. And they had wings like the wings of a stork. And they lifted up the ephod between the earth and the heaven. Then said I to the angel that talked with me, where do these bear the ephod? Where are they going to go? Where are they going to take this thing? You got this thing, this flying roll flying over the whole earth, lands in people's house, wickedness shows up in their house. Then all of a sudden you got this ephod, and it shows up, and it's got a woman in the middle with a lead, and it's got two stork-type women flying with this thing. You said, that's strange. Well, I'll show you something stranger. Take your Bible, look in Revelation chapter 9.
We sing that song, "This World Is Not My Home, I'm Just a Passing Through." And brother, I do know that we are just passing through. Amen. Look at here. Revelation 9. Verse 3. Now there's this, I listened to a tape one time on a secular talk show. It was just a DC, I was working in DC. It was a talk show. And it was called the Diane Rehm Show. And this woman interviews people that write books. And this guy wrote a book called Light Years. And another one wrote another book called Intruders. This guy claims that these intruders are in power in every world, every Congress or Senate. I think Nancy Pelosi is probably one of them. And this guy claims that these people are in power and they're placed there. This guy claims it. I'm listening to this thing. I'm working on a truck and I'm listening. I'm going, wow, this no Bible, no nothing. They're just talking. And this one guy wrote a book called In Light Years. He claims that he rides on a UFO. And you know, you see some people, you think they got off a UFO. And this guy claims, he was in Germany, he claimed that he flew on a UFO and he said they were interested in the seed of man. Now, if you, and that's what caught my ear. I'm listening, working on the truck, and I'm listening to Diane Rehm Show. He said, yeah, they're interested in the seed of man. He said, I met with a woman on the UFO. She was beautiful. She's blonde hair, blue eyes. And I asked her, how old are you? She said, 300 years old. Now, if you ran into a woman 300 years old, you wouldn't want to marry her. You wouldn't be around her. She'd be dust. But he said, he was on this UFO, and he said, they're interested in the seed of man and in the blood of man. And he had a meeting with this woman all the time. So nobody believed him, so they drove him out into a field out in Germany, had all these cars and people that were, you know, UFO chasers and all that crazy stuff. And they went out there, and like I'm going to say, don't be one of them UFO chasers. I had a friend of mine, and I went to Bible school. This guy ended up chasing for UFOs, went out to Arizona, went out the Area 51 and all that stuff. He started a church there. I said, what, for UFOs? You know, little aliens coming to church. Oh, ride the UFO to church, honey. And no, but this guy was nuts. And he was, you know, that's another story. But anyway, this guy claimed he rode on the UFO. So they're standing out there in the middle of a field, and he's standing there, and all of a sudden he disappears. Beam me up, Scotty. And he's gone for an hour. And then all of a sudden, he's right back there standing right where they took him, where he left. And they searching woods everywhere. And there he comes back, and snow is beating off his jacket where he'd been. They said, where you been? He said, I told you. They heard a noise up over their head, but they didn't see nothing. And this thing took him up, brought him back. And this guy claims that he met Jesus Christ. He didn't meet Jesus Christ that I know. He met another Christ. And this Christ told him that he was coming soon to the theater nearest you. So you say, man, what are you talking about? I'm telling you, man, there's wickedness and there's an unclean spirit. You know what the Bible tells you as a Christian? Hold your place there. And Zechariah, we're going to come back to this. Zechariah chapter 6, Ephesians chapter 6, look at this. Most Christians don't realize, when I started realizing this and started reading my Bible, and the Bible tells us that we wrestle not against flesh and blood. So you got spirits around you every day. Every day you live, you got spirits around you. And the Bible tells us this. The angel, now check this out. Psalm 34, 8, I think it is. It says, the angel of the Lord encampeth around about them that fear him and delivers them. He delivers them from what? Temptation, trouble, and all the things that go along with it. God delivers them. The angel of the Lord. Who's the angel of the Lord? It's Jesus Christ. Now check this out. Ephesians chapter 6. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood. So if you think your in-laws is your enemy, you're wrong. We wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers,
against the rulers of darkness of this world. So if the Bible put that in there, there's rulers of darkness that hate God, hate you, hate the church, hate the Bible. That's, what do you think, why do you think some of the states, they shut the churches down, said you can't have church, but they allowed the liquor stores to stay open?
Yep.
They allowed the drug places where they can get the drug dispensaries to stay open. But the church had it. The church is dangerous. Them Christians are dangerous. Shut it down. Put them in jail. You go to Walmart, everybody's everywhere. Sam Club, wherever you go. But churches, them churches, man, you got to shut them down. You don't want to sing. You know, the devil don't want you to sing.
That's right. Amen.
The devil don't want you to sing. You know what they said out in California? Said, no choirs, no singing, because it could spread the virus. No singing. You said, well, they're just trying to help us and keep us safe. Well, maybe, maybe not. Look at this. Against the rulers of darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Where's the high places? Places of government. You know, I was working in D.C., and I worked down there in D.C. for Wagner Roofing Company, and I worked around the Capitol and all that stuff, and I worked on houses there, and there's more homosexuals per capita around the Capitol than you can imagine. I was working on a house, and I come down off the ladder, and a guy was standing, it was a lawyer that owned the place, and his boyfriend, whoever he was, his whatever, and he was standing there naked at the sliding glass door waving at me. I had a hatchet in my hand. I was like, but I was around, I've seen all that mess. Spiritual wickedness is in high places. You can't go any higher in Washington. Look, check this out. Now, you daddies, it says, wherefore, in spite of all this and all this stuff happening in the world, you got the flying roll, and you got this ephod with two women like storks, their wickedness flying over the earth, and this thing is in the atmosphere going around, and you know, and you can pick up spirits and bring them home. Ladies, that's why you ought to be praying for your husband while he is at work. God protect him. You said, preacher, you're painting a pretty dark picture. I'm telling you, folks, this Bible is real. And prayer is real, and it works.
Amen.
Angel Lord encampeth round about them that fear him and delivers them. God puts the head, you pray over your children. Why? Because your children will pick up a spirit. They'll be sitting in a room in a dark place by themselves messing with stuff. Before long, you'll hear, they go off the deep end. You go, what in the world went wrong? They were in a dark place messing with wickedness. There's a spirit that came on. And I'm going to tell you something. The devil, if he wants to get your children, wants to get you and your children. If you're watching by online, the devil wants to get your family. It ain't no game. Ain't no game. Wherefore, look what the Bible says in verse 13. Wherefore, you wrestle not against flesh and blood. Wherefore, take on to you the whole armor of God. God's giving you equipment. God's giving you equipment to counter the attack, to keep you from getting wounded. A lot of people get wounded. Amy was talking about she got hit with bitterness. It took 5 years to get over it. The Bible talks about the fiery darts of the wicked. I work with a bunch of men, roofers and all that stuff. Y'all know, y'all been out in the world, and they come up and say, hey, preacher, I'm going to tell you a joke. I said, wait a minute, whoa, no, I don't want to hear it. Now, before I could even say anything, they said, oh, I just want to tell you, and they keep on trying to tell you. And I said, look, man, I told you, I don't want to hear it. I walk on. And I get away from them. When I worked with them, they would eat lunch. They all sit around and talk about all kinds of I would go over 15, 20 feet away, or maybe even further where I couldn't hear them, and read my Bible. They said, you think you're better than we are. They hated my guts. I said, no, man, I don't think I'm better. I just don't want to hear all that junk.
Amen.
I said, that's junk is what my family lived. My family lived in that filth. I don't want it back. You know, I find Christians trying to get to the filth. Just can't wait to get to it. And then, you know what happens? Then I see them 20 years from now. I'll see them somewhere, and they're, They're just destroyed, broken, tore up. Families tore up. I have one girl who was in Chick-fil-A just not long ago, and she said, and I, as soon as I saw her, I went, hey, and I named her. And she goes, why do I have to see you? They are so ashamed. They think that I'm gonna be down on them. No, I said, no, we want you to come back. I'm not going to be down on them. They're my brother and sister in Christ. I'm trying to get them back.
Yeah.
The devil whispers in their ears, says, oh, they're going to talk about you. They're going to run you down. They're going to say all kinds of bad things to you, and you're going to be ashamed. All that stuff. That's just a lie of the spirit. Unclean spirit. Look here. Wherefore, take on you the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to withstand an evil day, having done all to stand. Stand therefore, having your loins girded about with truth, having on the breastplate of righteousness, your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. I mean, man, standing. You know, I was just reading a little while ago about that song, Standing on the Promises of God. Well, we sang that a little while ago. Stand therefore, having your loins girded about with truth, having on the breastplate of righteousness, your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Above all, take the shield of faith. Shield of faith. Everybody likes to say, oh, man, you know, the superheroes, you know, Captain America, all that. He's got a shield. It protects him. You know, God's giving you a shield. He wants you to be a superhero for his glory. Not that you fly around like these people, but for the fiery darts of the wicked. Look what it says. Above all, taking the shield of faith, wherewith you shall be able to quench the fiery darts of the wicked, and take the helmet of salvation, the sword of spirit, which is the word of God. Praying always with all prayer and supplication in the spirit, capital S, spirit, the right spirit, not the kind that you drink. And watching their all perseverance and supplication of all saints. I mean, Christian daddy, are you any better as a Christian than the day you got saved? Are you any better down the road serving God? Getting your head screwed on straight? That's why it says the helmet of salvation. Why? To keep your head straight. To protect your mind. To protect this thing right here, because if not, this mind, I drove a tractor trailer. I thought that would be the greatest job in the world, driving a tractor trailer. I tell Ben about it. I saw driving a tractor trailer is the worst job I ever had in my life. Why? Because you got so much time to think. You're riding down the road, you're going, and I go, man, get out of my head. You say, you talk to yourself like that. I turn some preaching on. I turn some music on. And what happens is people, rather than listen to gospel music or listen to preaching, they'll turn some country music on. So I'm making feel sorry for yourself. I want to go get a beer. I want to cry my beer. And you start, man, you start feeling sorry for yourself. Go back to Zechariah. We'll close this. Man, we haven't even scratched the surface, man. But this thing lands, and it has a base. Whatever it is, it lands. You say, who are these women? They're unclean spirits. You know, that's the only time you find in the Bible angels. They're unclean spirits. They're unclean angels. You say, are there angels in the Bible? Women in heaven? Yes, there are. There are women in heaven. But these here, look out. Look here. And he said unto me, to build it a house. Verse 11. To build it a house in the land of Shinar. And it shall be established and set there upon her own base. See that thing? Whatever that wickedness is with the two stork women and the lead in the middle is built in Shinar. And then you got over in Revelation that says, Mystery Babylon. Babylon. Shinar is Babylon. Shinar. Guess I had a couple guys in our church. David Kahn was a Marine that fought in Iraq. And I think a couple other guys here went to Iraq. And David said he went to Babylon. Babylon is in Iraq. We still got troops there. And you know what? You know what the fastest growing religion in all the world is? Islam. Wickedness. Has its base, this wickedness there. Man, guess what the Antichrist is going to be? The Antichrist is going to be part Muslim,
and part Jewish. Say, where's that at? Bible. We ain't got time to touch it. Amen. Dads, you got a responsibility. You got a responsibility to learn the Word of God, study it, grow in faith so you can stand for God. Put on the helmet. You're supposed to teach your children how to walk with God. My wife, thank God for a good woman. My wife taught our children how to walk with God. Amen. And we both together tried to teach our children. She said, were you perfect? No way. We failed in a lot of places. But that didn't make me want to quit. I've been pastoring 33 years here. And we had our ups and downs. We've had death and all kinds of stuff. But it doesn't make me want to quit. It makes me want to do more for God. As a dad, as a husband, as a pastor, I want to do more. I come short. I woke up this morning praying for people that I haven't visited. I need to visit. I need to visit them. And the Lord reminded me of that. And I always tell the Lord this, Lord, show me if there's something you want me to do and I come short of it. Because the Bible says all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Lord, if there's something I need to do, help me to do it. Or help me to see them so I can help them. Amen? We got a responsibility, Daddy. Amen. Thank God for a Bible-believing church that still preaches this book. Amen. Still sings the old songs. We got buses that go out, try to pick up children. Trying to reach children. Why? Because there's stuff flying around up there. There's unclean spirits and everything else. I was going to show you about that beast out of Revelation 9 that's coming out of bottomless pit. Take your Bible. Let me show you that real quick. Revelation 9. I forgot that. Revelation 9. Something wild. Real quick. Look what it says. Revelation 9, verse 1. I don't have time to talk about all the triangles in the world. There's seven triangles. You know, they talk about the Bermuda Triangle, all crazy stuff that happens there. There's seven triangles in the world, seven of them. And it says, the fifth angel sounded, and I saw a star fall from heaven onto the earth. A star is always a fallen angel. And to him was given, or angel, given the key of the bottomless pit. And he opened the bottomless pit, and there rose a smoke out of the pit, as the smoke of a great furnace. And the sun and the air were darkened by reason of the smoke of the pit. And there came out of the smoke of the locusts upon the earth. And unto them was given power, as the scorpions of the earth have power. Now check this thing out. You're talking about a wild thing. It was commanded them that they should not hurt the grass of the earth, neither any green thing, neither any tree, but only those men which have not the seal of God in their foreheads. Here's something coming out of the pit that's going to hurt people that don't have the seal of God. This is in the tribulation now. It says, to them was given that they should be not kill them, but that they should be tormented 5 months. And their torment was the torment of a scorpion when he striketh a man. In those days shall men seek death, shall not find it. Men will want to die. And they can't die. And shall desire to die, and death shall flee from them. Now check this out. Verse 7. The shapes of the locusts were like upon horses prepared unto battle. And on their heads were as it were crowns of gold. And their faces were as the face of man. They have men's face. Look at this. And they had hair like the hair of women. Long hair. That's one reason I got my hair cut. and their teeth were as the teeth of lions. So you got this thing flying around. I got a dog that's a Labrador. He's part Lab, whatever. But he's about that big. And can you imagine something like that, like a scorpion flying? It's got a face like a man. The thing flies up. I hate flies. I'm killing flies and everything else. Can you imagine getting up there and you hear something buzzing and you grab your fly swatter and come up and there's this thing about 3-4 foot long and got like a horse prepared for battle. It's got all this armor on it. And you take your fly swatter and go, oh my Lord. And it's got a face of a man that's looking at you. Then it's got teeth like a lion. And you go, man, I'm going to need something bigger than the fly swatter, that's for sure. I'm going to need a shotgun. And that thing comes, it hits you with a scorpion tail. Woo! You'd wish you were dead. You say, wait. You say, when is that going to be? Tribulation. Tribulation. So you got these women, storks, all that stuff. You got some crazy stuff in the Bible. And it's going to come to the theater nearest you. You know what? You know what I found? Hollywood's always making movies about the Bible or the plots in the Bible. There are 33 plots in the Bible, and it's always about a man, a woman, a bad guy, good guy, and a woman. And it's always in there. In all the movies, got a bad guy, good guy, and a woman. Or somebody's going to destroy the earth. And all these aliens are going to come. It's all these, they can't come up with nothing new because there's only 33 plots in the Bible. A man born in a perfect environment gets kicked out. His son kills his brother. A man gets drunk, commits incest with his daughter. I mean, just all these plots. You think about wickedness. I got saved. I didn't want no more part of that stuff. God changed my heart. And you need to pray God change yours. Father, thank you again this morning for your mercy. Thank you for your word. God is real. It's alive. And it's the best novel. And it's not even a novel, but it's the best novel there ever was written. And God, this book is real and alive. And people that talk about the Bible wasn't true and there's a lie and all that stuff. Now they're asking questions about the Bible because all this stuff coming to pass in the world. And Lord, I pray, God, help the men on this Father's Day. Give them a good day. Help the men be a good men for your glory and honor, and help us to keep the wickedness out of our homes. And Lord, I pray, God, that you'd protect us and help this church, Faith Baptist Church, always stand, and churches like it across this country, help them to stand for you and not back down. And we'll thank you. Pray for our president today, our Congress and Senate. God, have mercy on our country, and we'll thank you and praise you for it. In Jesus' name, amen.